Welcome, everybody, to another episode of High Fives with Blake and Eric. I just happen to be Blake.
I just happen to be Eric.
It's weird how that works out.
It's convenient that our show is named this way.
It is. It really is. It could have been named so many different things. We were just lucky enough that it happened to be named after us. I don't know how it worked out.
Well, sit back, relax, and get ready to get another high five. High fives to all the guys. High fives to all the guys. High fives to all the guys. Just work out your girlfriend, even a sister. But when the brothers showed up and things got totally bitchin'. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rock it out.
Yes, it's episode 2, if you're not keeping track. If you were like, I listened to that one episode, but I can't find any more. That's why. They don't exist yet.
They're existing right now as we speak.
They'll exist in the future.
We're bringing this into existence for you.
It's kind of a big deal, guys. I don't think you give us enough credit.
Yeah, really. Here we are, slaving away, putting a show together for these people, and they're not doing anything.
There's so many other things I could be doing right now, but I'm here for the people, because the people need a top five list. They need it.
A high five list, if you will.
Yes. It's like on the food pyramid, there is another piece of that pyramid that's high five lists.
Yeah, there's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it's like at the very bottom, you need like, you know, shelter and food and water. And then at the top, it's like spiritual awareness and like self-consciousness and stuff. But right in there in the middle is another episode of High Fives.
Yeah. Your joke was a lot better than mine. Let's go with that one.
I'm going to leave them both in.
Ah, shoot. Well, you're the smart one, I guess. I'm just the funny, talented, and good-looking one.
Hey, listen, we can't all be funny, talented, and good-looking. Some of us have to be smarter. More smarter.
More smarter. More smarter between the ear holes.
I feel like I should have gotten drunk before the podcast. I feel like it's going to up the presentation and professional quality that our listeners have come to expect.
That's what everybody says after every show. It was okay, but I think the talent could have been more drunk.
Listen, your podcast is fine, but why don't you ever get drunk before you get on the air? You know what else they say? Why don't you eat more during the podcast? So, Blake, what have you been up to?
You are such a mess. It is beautiful.
So, Blake, what have you been up to since the last episode?
Oh, been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed 4? Aside from working at the local Target store, I've been setting things in motion to apply for an internship at a Game Informer. I'm putting all of my eggs into that basket right now, basically. I got requests out for letters of recommendation to various people. One was my advisor a couple of years ago. He apparently still remembers me and is totally willing to help me out. Then I have to do some like writing and crap and make a resume. Like, you know, the whole thing.
Yep.
How to be an adult. I'm not excited about
being
the
an adult
part, but yeah, it's like I have homework again, but I don't get credit for it.
You'll get credit for it, but not school credit, life credit.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're just dropping knowledge bombs.
I'm like a drunken wizard.
You're not drunk. You had one beer.
I'm not drunk.
Yet?
Yet. I am not inebriated. Yet.
You know, it might not be funny to hear, but that's what I've been working on, you know? Just trying to get myself out there. Because I'm tired of my job, my crappy job that I work now. So instead of doing that, I'm going to get this other job where I work at for 3 months and get zero pay.
That actually sounds like a pretty good idea.
because that seems financially responsible. You hear that, kids? You don't need to earn money.
The best course of action is to work for free.
So you can get people coffee and I don't know what else they plan on me doing on the interning.
Are they going to want you to give them hot dogs? Because you can tell them you've got experience doing that.
I don't think they do. Mm. I don't know. Maybe.
Seem like the kind of guys who'd like a good hot dog.
I feel like even if I am one of the lucky three that get chosen, I will be like at least 7 years older than the other two people, which is kind of embarrassing. I don't know. At least I look young. Do I look young?
You'd look younger without the beard.
Well, that's it. Beard's going. Because I care so much. I care so much about my age, man. You don't even know.
I don't even know.
How could you know? How could you know with that youthful skin?
I don't have youthful skin. It's all gross.
Look at your dimples. You're like a little baby.
Yeah, but I'm going to have these dimples when I'm an old man, too.
Yeah. Then you're just going to be gross.
I'm already pretty gross. You can only see me from the shoulders up right now. Below that, it's just, ugh. Just disgusting. It's surprising I've got a kid on the way. Because it's surprising anybody would ever see me naked and continue with, like, that path. Be like, yeah, I'm going to follow down this road. This seems promising.
Well, then she can always just turn the lights off, right?
That's why it is. Yep. It's all making sense right now.
Yep. Just flip the lights off and grit your teeth. Just push through.
I guess.
Let's switch things up. Let's, what have you been up to? Who cares about me?
I've been working on the movie that I'm going to be making in February.
Ooh.
It's a movie I wrote called Matchmaker. That's what we're calling it right now.
Is it about a guy making those little matchbooks that you get at hotels and bars?
No, but now that you say that, I might write that script. Like, he's hand-making each individual match, and then, gluing it into the matchbook.
It sounds like box office gold, sir.
Like, just painstaking detail of him doing this. Yeah, I think that's actually...
And that's it for 2 hours, just him standing over a table. No dialogue at all.
Him just working on making a single match. For 2.5 hours.
And then a wind blows through an open door, and it blows the match out a window, and that's life.
Yeah, the last shot of it is just him reaching over and starting a new one.
With a deep sigh, just...
Yes. But matchmaker that I've got right now is one word, so this one would be matchmaker. So that would be two words. So they're different movies.
Okay, then what's the real one about?
One that I wrote. It's about basically this couple sets up this other couple, and they go out on a double date, and hilarity ensues. Well, I don't know if it's hilarious, but it's mildly amusing.
Which I think is better than side-splitting laughter, quite frankly, because who wants that?
Yeah, who wants hilariousness in their movies?
Yeah.
Besides everybody.
Whatever, dude.
I don't know. It's going to be fun, though. The trouble that we're having right now is finding a place to shoot it. And because I want it to be at night, but, you know, restaurants are busy at night. So they generally don't like having a film crew in there when they're busy because we're going to be taking up a table and doing all sorts of stuff. So it's just been a nightmare trying to find a place.
And you can't pay them thousands of dollars to just, you know, ease up a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
stop being so uptight. God.
A zero budget for this movie, so it's been rough. And people are dropping out and been working on our webpage and Facebook page, our Twitter, all sorts of stuff. Lots of fun stuff.
You can't tell them about that. That loses its mystique. They just want it. It's just supposed to look like it appeared, like one day.
Yeah, just this webpage just appeared out of nowhere, and we've built this podcast around it now.
Yeah, nobody wants to know the inner workings of the magic that is the internet.
I wouldn't call it magic. It's been pretty. It's a pretty plug-and-play kind of system I've got set up, because I don't have a lot of time or talent, especially low on the talent. But
yeah, overrated, if you ask me. I was never thought it was important to the process.
Oh, another thing I should probably get out of the way. I said in the last episode what our Twitter handle was, but I changed it since then because I'm an idiot. But I think it's a much better Twitter handle, so I'm sticking with this one. It's High Five Podcast. It's at High Five Podcast. So
It sounds like a pretty good one, man.
Yeah, I think this one will work a lot better. So
I like it.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, and I know you do, follow us at High Five Podcast. If you don't have a Twitter, you don't like Twitter, you're just on Facebook, you want to like us on Facebook, you can like us at facebook.com/highfives.
If you see a picture of a white hand in front of a red background, you're in the right place.
That's right.
Sort of a ketchup red, like a tomato-y red.
It's a tornado red.
Tornado red.
Tornado red, that's what I'm calling it. It's kind of almost like a zombie survival horror logo, I feel like. But it's actually my hand. I took a picture of my hand and then turned that all white and then put the background black.
I actually...
Put the background red.
Tornado red.
Tornado red.
God, he just ruined this whole thing. All right, back to one. Start over.
Welcome to High Fives with Eric and Blake. Or Blake
Episode
and Eric.
Episode number two.
No, let's not do that. All right, so what you've been playing...
I'm still running through Assassin's Creed 4. I feel like I'm getting closer to the end.
Well, yeah, if you're progressing in the story, you are getting closer to the end. That's kind of...
Well, like, I mean, like, I'm getting relatively close. Like, as far as the story missions go, I think I'm at, like, around the 50% completed. Maybe a little under that, but I've been mostly spending my time doing all the extra stuff, like hunting all of the chests and the fragments and finding all the Templar keys. That stuff can get sort of boring, so I like to do all that, like get all that out of the way as quickly as possible. The Templar keys were a little more exciting because they actually have short little actual story missions set up around those. They're like 4 to 5 missions per key, and it's all about how you meet up with an assassin and you take down this Templar who just happens to be holding the keys. Sort of like Assassin's Creed 3 when you were making your little brotherhood. Each of those characters sort of had their own little missions. They just kind of took that concept one step further, and I really enjoyed it. So far, it's my favorite side content I think Assassin's Creed has ever had. Because if you know me, you know that I typically hate all the side quests in Assassin's Creed games because it pretty much is always just
locate all the flags.
Yeah, and collecting flags and like Assassin's Creed 1, I think had like 200 flags to collect, if not more than that, which is a crazy amount of flags.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Did you get them all?
No, didn't even try.
What about you, sir?
Well, I'd like to say that I've beat Batman, but I really don't think I've even picked it up since last week. The only game that I've even played has been Mario Party with my wife. But actually, the game that I've been playing the most since then was actually Simpsons Tapped Out.
Ooh.
I'd like to say it was an actual game, but no, it's an iPhone game.
Yeah, it's not really, iPhone games can actually be games. This one just happens to be, you just tap it. Yeah, you just tap it.
But I don't know, I like it. Love anything The Simpsons puts out, so.
Yeah, it's sort of a little distraction. I've never been inclined to put real money into it, but I know people who have.
I've never put any money into it either, but I got a couple of iTunes gift cards for Christmas, and I'm thinking that's where the bulk of that money's going, so.
It's kind of sad, man.
Yeah, I don't spend money on music anymore. I just stream everything.
Yeah, I'm only saying it's sad because I'm going to be jealous when I go to your town and you're going to have buildings I don't have.
Yep. I'm planning on getting the Hank Scorpio Mountain. That's the one thing really want.
That's the one I want. You should give me one of your iTunes cards because I'm your best friend.
You are my best friend, but that does not equate to me just giving you money for no reason.
Damn it. You never give me money for no reason.
No, I never have, I don't think.
Anyway, all right.
Was there a point to this show?
No.
No? Okay.
Oh, well, wait. There's something about a list or something.
Really, a list? Well, why don't you explain this list?
Okay. Explain it? Like people don't know what lists are? All right. So it's, we take a topic, and the topic could be anything, but it's usually going to be something with pop culture or video games, movies, maybe music, but I feel like if we did music, we'd probably have like the same ones or something. So this week, the top five list is top five movies we regret spending money on. Now, that could mean we bought them on DVD. It could mean we rented them. It could mean that we used up one of our Netflix discs. I don't know what you'd say. If we got it through Netflix, I guess technically we're paying for that service, so it would still count. And of course, if we actually went to the movie while it was in the theaters, that would definitely count because movie tickets are so expensive. And I think that's something people can relate to. People go to movies, right? That's still a thing.
I think that people can relate to things being expensive.
Okay,
we're really speaking to the masses with this podcast.
Yeah.
So let's start then. What is your number five?
My number five is Ghost Town, starring Ricky Gervais.
I was dead, and then when they brought me back, I can... The dead have a lot of unfinished business, which is why we're still here.
Everybody needs something done, and you're the only person who can see or hear us.
Ghost Town.
Oh! If I see one more whinging zombie anywhere near me...
We're not zombies. Zombies feed on human flesh. That's offensive.
Yes, I remember that movie.
Did I say his name correctly?
Yeah, I think so. It might be Gervais.
Gervais.
A little softer S. It's closer to a Z, but I don't know.
He's British, so who the hell knows how he pronounces his name, right?
Well, I think he does.
Well, yeah. And the Who would, too, because they're also British. Who the hell knows?
So you didn't like this movie. I didn't actually see this movie.
It's been a while since I watched it, but the entire time, like, Ricky Gervais is good in it, but I feel the rest of the film just kind of, the romantic plot to it, I think, was a little much for me.
Who was the opposite, his romantic interest?
Taya Leone, of all people.
She had
her
own show
it?
For a little bit.
Was it good?
I don't think I ever saw it.
Well, we can thank you for it not being around.
I like her, I think.
Yeah, she's all right. She was also in Fun with Dick and Jane, starring with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
It was another movie that I started to watch but didn't finish. That probably could have been on this list, too.
So what didn't you like about the movie?
Well, what hooked me was the fact that Ricky Gervais' character almost dies in the hospital. Might have been due to dental work. So he was clinically dead for a few minutes. And because of this, he's able to see and interact with dead people. Right? That's fun. It piqued my interest.
Right.
And anything dealing with that, I actually enjoyed. Like, that was funny. But the storyline with him and Taya Leone, her character, I just didn't care for. It felt really forced because Ricky Gervais, seeing dead people, sees a ghost named Frank, played by Greg Kinnear, a guy I do actually really enjoy.
Nice.
And I think he wants to apologize to his, I believe they were married, apologize to Taya Leone, but can't because he is dead. And I think he cheated on her or something or other. So he comes to Ricky Gervais to be like, hey, go apologize to my wife for cheating on her. But it's Ricky Gervais. I think that's the plot. He's involved somehow. And Ricky Gervais comes to fall in love with Taya Leone, and I just felt that whole storyline seemed very forced. And what was really weird about the love story is that they never really get very physical, I guess, even though they get together at the end, Ricky Gervais and Taya Leone. It just seemed weird. I guess Ricky isn't comfortable with showing affection.
Well, that was back when Ricky Gervais was still kind of fat, so that might be part of it too.
Isn't he still kind of fat?
No, he's like in really good shape now.
Oh, I did not know that. I am behind on my Ricky Gervais news. Anyway, so my number five pick, Ghost Town. Didn't hate it. I also didn't really feel like I needed to watch it.
Not worth the money you invested.
Not at all, because I actually own it. I bought it at Best Buy. I hadn't seen it before, which was breaking sort of one of my rules, is I tend not to buy movies I haven't seen, or at least that was my rule at the time. But I was just, you know, when you have money burning in your pocket and you just want to buy something, I bought Ghost Town, and I regretted it.
Ever since. Not a day goes by where I don't think about that damn DVD.
Blu-ray, sir. Come on.
Oh, even worse.
Keep up with the times.
Well, that was a good number five. My number five is a movie called Maverick.
In an age when few men played by the rules,
you'll never cheat here again!
One man survived.
Is this seat taken?
It is now.
By making his own.
I promise that I will lose for at least an hour.
Sounds good to me.
You did say you were going to lose for an hour.
I am a man of my word.
And his name was Maverick.
That starred Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yep, in the Old West. And he's like a gambler. And he's, I don't know, it's got Jodie Foster and James Garner in it. I really don't remember much of this movie. This is the only movie I've ever paid for and went to a theater to see and walked out of. Because I was...
Really? You walked out of a movie?
I walked out of a movie. Believe it
or
not.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising, though, because it was directed by Dick Donner, the guy that did the old Supermans. And the old Supermans were awesome.
I heard the third one wasn't very good.
Well, no, but those... we can overlook the third one because the first two were awesome. I told my wife that I was going to put this one on, and she's like, that movie was so good. And I was like, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about, woman. If you knew us, you would know that that's never how any conversation has ever gone in this house.
It probably was more, came off more like this. Maverick's on this list, huh? Is that okay?
Is that okay?
I can find a different movie if you want.
And she's like, no, you put a different movie on there. But then I came down here and she can't hear me upstairs, so I can say whatever I want.
Luckily, the chances are very low that she's going to listen to this, so, you know, whatever.
Low? There's a 0% chance.
All right, back to Maverick.
Yeah, so I remember going to this movie in the theater and leaving before it was done, and I was like, walking in, I was like, should we ask if we can get our money back? But we were like little kids, and I don't know how old we were, but we weren't old. It was when I think
Who's we, and do you remember what it was that drove you from the theater?
I remember the movie just being boring. And it was, we was me and a friend from Bloomington. This was right after we moved to Litchfield. So it must have been like third or fourth grade at the most.
Ooh.
So we went and saw this movie, which was rated, I don't know what it was rated, but it was rated. So I'm pretty confident that it was rated.
Apparently it wasn't rated very well. You didn't like it. That's my joke.
Yeah, according to me, it was not good. It was rated PG, so yeah, we could totally get into that movie.
Yeah, PG Western, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And I don't know, maybe it was...
Because what are cowboys known for? They're known for killing and swearing, and those are things that can't happen in a PG movie.
Exactly. So, yeah, we left early. And debated trying to get our money back, but then realized, like, we're little kids. They're probably not just going to give us our money back. So just went home and probably played something on the Sega Genesis.
Why wouldn't you?
So, yeah, that's my number five. The only movie I've ever left early from.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever left early from a theater. I even sat through Casper.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, although, we went to Casper.
Although that movie had Christina Ricci in it, So
yeah,
I would sit through almost any movie with Christina Ricci in it.
Oh, really?
I don't know how you're going to use that information against me. Sounds like you're like, oh, I've got a plan then.
Plans are always forming. I didn't say it was a good plan.
I'm going to put Christina Ricci in a movie I know he'll hate. And I'll make him sit through the whole thing.
Casper 2.
It's
Electric Boogaloo.
I would totally watch that movie. What are you talking about? That sounds amazing. No, you're going to make a movie where it's just her saying the Holocaust didn't happen for 4 hours.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. It's just her saying how it didn't happen for 4 hours.
And giving really bad reasons for it.
Yep. And I'll just sit there like, no, you don't. No. Because that's the voice I make when people are using faulty logic. No. Stop it. I sound like Brian Posehn. But
yeah.
Anyway, what's your number four? Moving on.
My number four is a super pick.
Oh?
That's funny, and you'll find out in 3, 2, 1. My number four pick is Super Bad.
Get my brand new fake ID.
Wait, you changed your name to McLovin?
Doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
This guy's either going to think, here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old... Hawaiian organ donor.
I am McLovin.
What?
And I thought the movie was super bad.
So how does it feel to be wrong?
I don't think I am wrong.
So you don't see how wrong you are.
Maybe, you know, my argument going into this was maybe it's because I was never really into the high school party scene, and by I never really was, I mean I was never at a high school party. And that's kind of, you know, what the whole movie revolves around is the two title characters, well, not title characters, but the two lead characters played by Michael Cera and Jonah Hill.
The two title characters, Super and Bad.
It's about them having one last party before, you know, they go off to college, and their best friends who aren't going to the same college. And I was never really into the party scene, so maybe that's why I didn't like it. But then I hear that you super loved it.
I did. I thought it was hilarious. It was written by Seth Rogen, and he's got a cameo in it, and Bill Hader. And I don't know, I just thought it was hilarious.
Those were the two characters that I actually found enjoyable. Also, McLovin, I think I liked a little as well.
I liked McLovin a lot, but I hated that he became such a just the word McLovin became such a huge thing.
And that was what he was known. Like nobody knew his real name.
Yeah,
he was just McLovin.
Yeah, I think his name is Jordan Mintz Plasse.
Yeah, that sounds about right. He doesn't even have a last name. It was just McLovin.
So you didn't like the movie? You just didn't like those characters, or?
No, I didn't think it was funny. I didn't really relate to it at all. Like, we didn't go to the same college, you know, first year college, and I wasn't all hurt and upset about it like the characters in the movie were, so I guess I didn't see where they were coming from. The fact that they both got their girl in the end was kind of dumb, too. I don't know. There's just, maybe I went into it with, you know, high expectations because I was a Jonah Hill fan and at the time a Michael Cera fan and big Seth Rogen fan. And I didn't really know Bill Hader by name, but I recognized him. Maybe I just went in thinking it was going to be a great movie because, you know, I got it on DVD. I didn't see it in the theater, so I also didn't even get it right away. You know, I got it like a couple weeks when it was on sale at Target, and so the entire time leading up until then was listening to people talk about how funny this movie was. And so maybe it was just a case of
too high of expectations.
Yeah, maybe I should give it another chance, watch it again. Same thing kind of happened with the Ballad of
Ricky Bobby?
Ricky Bobby, yeah. Talladega Nights. Hated that movie the first time I watched it. Second time I watched it, loved it. It's one of my favorite comedies, really. So,
yeah, I could definitely see that happening, too, especially since it's like an Apatow movie. And I think with those movies, a lot of times, it helps to really sit down with somebody who already loves the movie. because you kind of get their cues as to what's funny in it as well.
Yeah, but it's, you say that, but while you say that, I think I shouldn't need somebody there to tell me what's funny. It's like a laugh track on a sitcom. Like, they put the laugh track there so the audience knows when to laugh. Like, that seems like if something's really funny, you shouldn't need to be told when to laugh.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's one of those things where I could see somebody getting really upset by some stupid decision a character makes, whereas if somebody else sees it as funny, you'll see the humor in it as opposed to just being like, what's this idiot doing this for?
Which is really how I usually react when you do things.
Well, yeah, but I don't have any reason why I do things that are idiotic.
So you're saying if I just look at your life like a comedy, it'll be funny and less sad?
No, it'll still be sad. It'll still be very sad. Oh. But it might be more funny as well.
Okay.
Hopefully right, it'll be funny.
So number four, super bad. Maybe I'll give it another go. Only difficult thing there is it doesn't seem like a movie that my fiance would like to watch, and I tend to not watch movies by myself. I usually play video games in my free time, but maybe I'll throw it in sometime. We'll see. What was your number four?
My number four is a movie that I also bought on DVD, sight unseen, thinking it was going to be really good, and it was not. It is Farce of the Penguins.
Last year, they touched your heart. This year, they'll touch you in places you never imagined.
I'm not in the mood.
Your sister was in the mood. I'm gonna go see her.
Two penguins.
Three different women, 3 years in a row. I can't hold on to them, man.
Are on a quest.
Everybody got boxed but me.
To find love. Penguin-y love.
You remember that movie?
Vaguely. I don't know why you bought it.
I don't know. I think the ads made it seem really funny. But it wasn't funny.
Was it just like a parody of that March of the Penguins movie? That
yes and no. I mean, it's just like, you know, they take a bunch of footage of penguins and then give them voices. You know, Bob Saget did a voice. I think Samuel L. Jackson did the narrating. I think I remember, what's his name? Tracy Morgan having a character.
See, now, Samuel L. Jackson narrating a penguin movie is like a parody of the Morgan Freeman narrated penguin movie. That sounds like it could be funny.
Right.
But I take it just did not deliver.
Let me give you this example as to how unfunny it was. Carlos Mencia had a character.
All right, that's pretty unfunny.
Exactly. I don't know, and maybe if I watched it again, I might find something to be funny, because I like a lot of the people that were in it. There's a ton of people that had voices in it.
I don't know, man. That seems like a movie that I don't know what you would gain from a second viewing.
Yeah, I didn't even finish my first viewing. I own the DVD. It's sitting right over there, and I have yet to get through it, and I don't think I'm going to.
See, whereas we were just speaking, and I said I might need to give Superbad a second chance, because my expectations were too high. I can't imagine you going into a Farce of the Penguins with high expectations.
I really actually did, though. That's kind of the sad thing. I thought it was going to be good.
That is kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's kind of bummed me out, man.
Which is a shame, because I love penguins, so watching a movie where it was funny with a bunch of comedians I thought would be the best thing ever. But no, It made me sad watching penguins, and I don't like that feeling. I don't like being sad while watching penguins.
That should be a war crime.
Well, I don't know about a war crime, because it's not actually a war. It should definitely be like cruelty to animals to do that to penguins.
To make them unfunny and unlovable?
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds pretty terrible.
But yeah, so that was my number four. Not worth a second viewing. So now, what is your number three?
My number three is Spider-Man 3.
The suit. Where'd this come from?
The power. It feels good. to lose yourself to it.
Ooh, take that, ooh. Sam Raimi.
Yeah, that movie sucked.
See, there's another movie I haven't seen.
See, there is a thing that I think it's a problem with a lot of comic book movies. It's like you have the first movie, you know, they typically star just the singular hero, and they usually go up against a singular enemy. And the first one tends not to be very good because they always have to do the origin story, which I think usually takes a little too long. Like, the same thing happened in Spider-Man. You know, Tobey Maguire plays Spider-Man, and the main villain in the first movie is the Green Goblin, played by Willem Dafoe. And that movie suffers from just not getting to the actions quick enough because they do the whole origin story with Spider-Man. And I don't know if that necessarily has to be that way, because I think most people know Spider-Man and you don't necessarily need to show him being made. But anyway, so you have your first movie and it's pretty popular, does pretty well in the theater, so you make another one. And the second one, I think it's just him versus Dr. Octopus. There's some more drama surrounding Harry Osborn and his father, who was the Green Goblin from the first movie.
I think in that movie, the biggest villain is Peter Parker's habitual lateness.
Yeah, he can't seem to get anywhere on time. What a rapscallion.
It's a good word.
Thanks. So, second movie was actually my favorite one out of the original Spider-Man trilogy. Dr. Octopus came off pretty badass. So the third one comes and they want to go all out. They're like, what can we do to top the second one?
Villains.
We're going to give them one villain. Scratch that. We're going to give them two villains.
Not enough.
We're going to go three villains.
Snap.
They have Sandman.
Whoa.
Good villain. Then they're like, we're going to give people what they've been asking for years. We're going to throw Venom in there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And Harry Osborn's finally going to put on the Green Goblin suit, and he's going to be the new Green Goblin.
Doesn't he become the Hobgoblin? Or am I thinking the wrong thing?
That's, I think, in the comics. I don't think they refer to him as the Hobgoblin in the movie. I could be wrong, though. I see them do this a lot in movies. They just pack too many characters into a movie and they can't get a story nailed down. If they just wanted to make a movie with Spider-Man against Sandman, that probably would have been a good movie. If they wanted to go Spider-Man versus Venom, that probably would have been a good movie. Spider-Man versus Green Goblin again, that probably would have been bad. It would have been a retread of the first movie. But there was too many storylines going on in the third one. There was Peter Parker having trouble with his girlfriend. And then there was Peter Parker getting the Black Venom suit and having drama surrounding that and turning into a huge emo asshole. Then there was Peter Parker having drama with his best friend Harry Osborn. Then there was Spider-Man versus Sandman. Then there was the black suit going off of Spider-Man and finding Brock. And then it all like comes together at the end into a huge mess, and they just couldn't focus the story, so it came off as a piece of crap, and I think most people know that.
What about the dance scene? Did the dance scene save it?
No, I think a lot of people forget about the dance scene. I don't think that has been a lot of memes or GIFs or anything.
So you're saying you liked the dance scene?
Oh, the dance scene was probably the greatest thing in the history of cinema.
Citizen Kane's got nothing on the Spider-Man dance scene.
No, it's gold, sir. Gold.
All right, so you're taking the very unpopular opinion that Spider-Man 3 was bad.
Yeah.
Really going out on a limb here.
Probably one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
Wow, that's saying
and
something.
Own. Sadly, I own that movie.
Do you just own all the movies you hate?
I try to.
Good. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Keep your good movies close and your bad movies closer.
Keep your friends close and your enemies on a DVD shelf at the foot of your bed.
When you really hate a movie, what you want to do is give the producers money for producing it.
That's how I always... that's how I live my life.
Oh, really? You're going to make this piece of crap? Well, here, take some of my money for that.
It's really just me giving them money saying, hey, never do this again. I will give you money if you promise not to do this ever again.
I don't think they're getting the message, man.
God damn it.
Yep. I think you're kind of doing things back-asswards.
All right. Let's move this right along. What was your number three pick?
My number three pick is not a movie that I thought was bad, but it is a movie that I'm upset about spending money on because I never actually watched it.
So just money wasted, basically.
Exactly. It's Stranger Than Fiction.
This is a story about a man named Harold Crick.
I need to speak to Karen Eiffel.
I'm one of her characters.
I'm sorry?
I'm in her new book, and she's going to kill me.
How exciting is that?
With Will Ferrell.
Ooh.
Got Emma Thompson in it. And
yeah.
About a guy who is a character in this lady's book, and here's the narrator talking to him, but he's trying to live his life. I don't know. I can't speak to the movie very much because I've never seen it.
It's a very weird movie. I actually own that movie, and I love it. It is my favorite Will Ferrell movie. There's definitely comic elements to it. There's, you know, he's in obviously a funny situation because the thing is that he's a real person in like real life, but he's also a character in an author's book played by Emma Thompson. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's a movie, so it doesn't necessarily need to.
Suspend your disbelief, people. Come on.
Yeah. So, like, all of a sudden, one day, he just hears this person narrating everything he does. And so he goes to an English professor, like you do, played by Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, if I started hearing voices, the first person I'd go to is a collegiate English teacher.
Well, to be fair, the first thing he does do is he goes to see a therapist. And she can't help him. And he's like, well, what do you think I should do? I'm a character in a book. She goes, well, go see somebody who knows about books. So that's when he goes to see Dustin Hoffman.
This is the type of leap that the movie asks you to make one time.
But I actually thought it was a very good movie. It really shows off Will Ferrell's acting chops, or at least I think he does a good job at it. I bet there's somebody who reviews movies for a living who thinks he overacts and is just utterly terrible in it. But I liked it. There's a big emotional scene at the end of it that actually, I don't want to say I cried, but I definitely teared up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a quality movie.
Too manly to cry.
I'm not too manly for anything, let me tell you.
Yeah, so that's the thing is I had this. I really want to see it. I had it on my Netflix. I got the disc in the mail and just never put it in the DVD player. I'd get home and see it on the table, and I'd be like, I should watch that. And it never once happened.
I strongly suggest it. Anyone listening, I suggest watching this movie. I endorse it. I'm not going to say that you're going to like it because I don't know you. I don't know the type of things you like.
Listen, you're a stranger. Movie, we're just voices on a podcast.
I liked it a lot. It's one of my... I could probably even say it's one of my top 10 movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should give it another try, but I don't know. After having it for literally months sitting on my table at home and never being able to put it in, it's just... It's hard to go about trying to play it again now.
It actually makes me want to... makes me want Will Ferrell to take on more serious roles. Like, obviously, Will Ferrell isn't known for serious roles. Like, he was just in Anchorman 2, for crying out loud. But he's in a movie called, I think it's called Everything Must Go, where it seems like more of like a kind of a comedic take on a dramatic situation. So that's actually on my Netflix instant queue. It's been on there probably for the last year. I've just never made the time to watch it.
Yeah, that's another one that looks good. I really want to see, but I just never have. So yeah, that's my number three. What is Blake's number two?
My number two is, I'm going way back to when I was a young, naive high school transitioning into college student.
I thought you were going to say transitioning into womanhood. I don't know why I thought you were going to say that. But
my number two pick is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Mortal Kombat.
So you didn't like this one, huh?
That movie was a train wreck, man.
Yeah, but like, it's one of those things where you just kind of let it be a train wreck and just kind of sit back and go, wow.
No, we actually, I think we watched this movie together a long, long time ago. And then fast forward a couple years, I saw both Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat Annihilation, probably at a Best Buy or, at the time, more likely a Media Play. You remember Media Play?
It was a
thing. Yeah. So I probably bought both of those. I don't think I watched the first one. I don't think I ever brought myself to watching the second one because I knew it was bad, because it's a direct continuation of the first one, but they couldn't get all the actors back for it, so like they had different actors playing different parts, which I hate in movies. Iron Man does that from Iron Man 1 to Iron Man 2. I think the character's name is Rhodes.
Yep.
Is played by, I don't know the actor's first, the
Terrence
actor
Howard.
Plays the who?
Terrence Howard.
Ah, yes, Terrence Howard. And, God, I'm blanking on the second guy.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. I kick myself for that because I love Don Cheadle.
Don't you marry him, Blake?
It is legal in Minnesota.
Booyah.
So, anyway, I actually preferred Don Cheadle in the role, so I wasn't too beat up about that switch in casting. But normally, I think it's obnoxious. From Batman Beyond to The Dark Knight, they did that too.
Batman Begins?
Did I say Beyond?
Yeah, that's a different thing entirely.
That was an awesome cartoon show from years ago. Yeah, Batman Begins to The Dark Knight.
Yeah, there were a lot of cast changes between Batman Beyond and Dark Knight.
Quite a few, yes. Anyway, back to Mortal Kombat. There was
Mortal
a
Kombat!
Fantastic. Yeah, and if I hated the fact that Spider-Man 3 was just jam-packed with too many characters, Mortal Kombat was like 10 times worse. They put characters into that movie just to appear on screen for 5 minutes, maybe do a little fight scene, and then they were gone. And then there was new characters in, and they just wanted to fit as many different appearances and cameos as they could with little regard for a story. If you've played the Mortal Kombat games, you know that it's kind of like high fantasy, sort of to the extreme, to like a violent extreme. There's a lot of magic projectiles like fireballs and reptiles spitting acid out. So to translate that into on the movie screen, you're going to need a big special effects budget. This movie did not have it, and the special effects looked like garbage. There's two characters, Cyrax and Sektor. I believe both characters make it into the movie, and they just look like two guys wearing motocross gear, which, to be fair, is what the characters look like in the video game. But you would hope that a movie would have a bigger budget to expand on those characters.
Yeah, so Blake's number two is Which one was it?
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Mortal Kombat!
It was awful. You know, it's so bad, I kind of want to go back and watch it, to be honest. I don't own it anymore, but like I said, I bought it a while, in high school.
So that one you followed with your don't buy this unless you've seen it rule, but you bought it even though you knew it was trash.
Yeah, I thought it was at a weird time in my life.
I think this rule that you've made up completely.
What rule? Did I make a rule? Repeat to me what the rule was.
You said that you had a personal rule of not buying a DVD unless you'd seen the movie already.
Oh, no. I did see the movie. Like, yeah, it was just... We saw it back in the day, and it was just bad. I think it was probably cheap at the time, and I was thinking that I was probably thinking, I'm an adult now. I need to grow and cultivate my DVD collection.
My DVD collection, yes. You're like, I'm an adult now. I don't need all this money. Let me buy crap DVDs for movies I know are bad.
And you know me. I'm super into video games, so I thought, like, it's a good idea. And I was really into Mortal Kombat at the time. So I'm like, how could I go wrong?
Very. You could go very wrong.
Yeah, it could, and it did.
Yes.
All right. Forget about me for the next 5 minutes. What was your number two?
My number two is King Kong, the 2005 version, not the original.
We saw something. What took her, Carl?
If you haven't found her in 24 hours, there'll be nothing left to find.
The one with Jack Black.
Why do you regret the purchase so much?
The movie itself isn't terrible. I haven't actually sat through the whole thing because it's over 3 hours long, so I was a little bored with it. But
did you mention that it was made by Peter Jackson? You did, right?
I didn't mention that. No, it is made by Peter Jackson, though.
The guy who made the... I'm going to let you explain it. It's your pick, for Christ's sake.
He made Lord of the Rings movies. Obviously, everybody knows that. But, yeah, he did King Kong because he remembers seeing that movie and how big of an impact it had on him, and he wanted to pass it down. But the thing is now we've got computers that do all this. It's not, you know, all that movie magic anymore because everybody knows it's just computer-generated effects. So there's really not a whole lot of spectacle in seeing something that we know somebody just drew up in Photoshop. Personally, I don't think, anyway. But anyway, the main thing that with this movie and why it's on my list is because I didn't buy the DVD. I didn't buy the Blu-ray. I bought this movie because it came with the HD DVD player that I got with my Xbox 360. And if you're not familiar with HD DVD, that's exactly why I regret the purchase so much. Because it died. It was a failed medium. And... It was a mistake on my part to spend the money on it. There are a few movies that I paid good money for that I'm going to have to buy again on Blu-ray or DVD because they're really good movies that I want to have, especially like in that high quality. But yeah, I can't watch the HD DVDs for them.
Yeah, I imagine you could at least, you know, the Xbox 360 was a thing. And I think you were the only person to ever own one of those HD DVD adapters for the 360, by the way.
That would be a pretty impressive thing for me, to be the only one who ever bought one.
Can you think of anyone else?
I mean, nobody else I know, no.
But, like, yeah, at least, you know, you're going to have your 360 hooked up for a while because you're not planning on upgrading to the Xbox One until later this year, correct?
Correct. But I don't have my HD DVD player hooked up either.
Yeah, but if you wanted to watch, like, say, 300, you could always just pull it out and hook it up quick.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, so you don't really need to upgrade that to the Blu-ray until late this fall, right? Yep,
exactly.
Yeah. So quit your bitching.
But I will have to. That's the thing.
Yeah. That was probably the silliest purchase you ever made.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
And you bought a plastic professional wrestling championship belt. And I'm still saying that the HD DVD player is the silliest purchase you've ever made.
I went into Toys R Us today and saw the belts sitting there, and I debated buying another one because I'm upset that I don't have my other one anymore.
Hide this one from your wife so she doesn't tell you to throw it out.
Exactly. I'm gonna get a belt, and I want it to be like the old one that's like got the blue earth on it, the WWF championship from when it was the WWF.
Yeah,
I want
the Attitude Era.
Yeah, just before they started making it where each champion got his own kind of belt, and I want to get that one, and I want to get it like full size. I want to be able to wear it, and then when I have a boy, and then he gets old enough, I want to be like, we're going for the belt. You know, we'll go out and we'll play basketball in the backyard or something like that, and we'll be like, this is for the belt.
So you wanted this straight up like replica made out of metal, and
it could be plastic. I just want it full size.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Winged Eagle belt, I believe, is what they call the belt you're referring to.
Which is kind of is redundant because it's most eagles are winged.
Yeah, that's true. But that is actually my favorite title belt design that the WWF/WWE have ever used.
Yep, I agree. It's if they drew a unwinged eagle, that would be more weird, I think.
That'd be sad.
Yeah. Then the World Wildlife Fund would definitely be upset about it.
Just put the thing out of its misery, man. Like, what Jeez. Are you doing?
It's not bad enough that, you know, you take away the WWF from our name. Now you gotta clip the wings off of eagles. Not even just clip their wings, just take them off.
Just chop them right off. I imagine with the meat cleaver.
You guys are monsters. But yeah, so that's King Kong. That's why I didn't. That's why I regret that purchase.
Because of wingless birds.
Because of unwinged eagles and the World Wildlife Fund. So that's King Kong.
In a nutshell, I think that's the essence of the movie King Kong.
I think that's what most people remember. So yeah, what is your final entry on this list?
My final one, my number one, is a movie from way, 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 way back. We're talking like 3 or 4, maybe 5 years. I went to this movie in the theater. The theater.
The theater?
The theater. Good Luck Chuck.
But now...
I'm Cam.
I'm Charlie.
I'm sorry.
Yes!
Fess up about this charm.
It's quite a scam you got going.
No, it's not me.
People will believe whatever they want to believe.
What seems like a blessing...
Cam's the one, man.
What makes you think I'll be kissing you, huh?
All right.
Feels like a curse.
If you sleep with her, she's gonna marry the next guy she dates.
Hey, that's not true.
I started calling all your exes. They're married.
It's real.
I we hate you.
I gotta go.
Ooh, with Dane Cook. I remember that one.
With Dane Cook. It was back when people were like, this guy's the next big thing in comedies, man. He's everywhere. He's up on stage. He's throwing his arms around. He's ripping his shirt off. The dude is comic gold. Let's put him in all the movies. All of them.
Every
he's
movie.
He's in all of these movies. That movie was garbage.
I haven't seen it, so you'll have
it
to explain it a little bit to me.
I will say it's my least favorite movie of all time. It's complete... just worthless, just like crap thrown up on the screen. I probably would have paid to see that. And if they're like, all right, you can give us money to go see Dane Cook, or you can go watch a pile of shit up on the screen.
So what exactly is it that makes you hate this movie so much?
Well,
and don't just say it's all crap, because I want specific examples.
Oh, I'll give you specific examples. You know how people cut together trailers to appeal to a certain crowd.
Absolutely.
Never have I felt more taken in by this tactic than in this movie. Those who don't know the movie, it's about Dane Cook, who meets this girl played by Jessica Alba, back when people were thinking that she was going to be a famous movie star as well. In the trailer, she was portrayed as this like super clumsy, unlucky woman, and the movie seemed to be all about that aspect of it. Like, she was, you know, attractive, but, you know, she was always tripping over herself, her pants were getting ripped off, and it was just funny. And they made it look to be this sort of family-friendly date movie, a nice movie that you could take your girlfriend to on a Friday night. Unfortunately, that's not what the movie was at all. It turns out that the movie stars Dane Cook, who at a young age was hexed by this goth chick he didn't want to make out with during Spin the Bottle, that she said, whoever you make love to will immediately find the love of their life, and it won't be you. So, like, all right, that is what it is. But unfortunately, for me and my date, the rest of the movie is basically all about him having sex with women. And they even have, halfway in it, when the main character is at his lowest, just this montage of softcore sex scenes, which they pretty much get as graphic as they can while keeping their rating. Like, and when you're out on a date, that is not what you necessarily want to see.
Nope.
And not only is it a montage, like, they actually did like the Brady Bunch thing where they like section off the screen and they have a different picture in each one of just Dane Cook having sex with all these ladies. And I was like, oh my God, this is pretty much the worst date. Because it was my idea to go to the movie too, because I thought it was this like nice little movie about this clumsy girl who finds love. Wasn't it at all. I totally felt taken in. And on top of that, not only was I taken in, the movie, like I said before, was horrible. No surprise that Dane Cook kind of stopped doing movies after that, because he was just terrible in it. Jessica Alba was passable, but she can only do so much anyway, like on her best day. And trying to salvage this movie it was just impossible. The brightest part about the movie was that there's a big emphasis on penguins. And as we said earlier in the show, we love penguins. What made it even worse is, like, not only did I pay for this ticket myself, I took a girl on a date to it.
So you paid for it twice.
I paid for it twice. And it was the worst thing.
And you spread the viewing around. So it wasn't just that you paid for it twice, which is bad enough, but you made it double your sets of eyes see it.
Yeah. And like she, and it was my idea to go to it. So that badness reflected onto me. It was just an awful experience. And I'm just done with it. Let's move on. What was yours?
All right. Well, my number one is a movie called Elephant.
You're crying.
Yeah.
Is something bad?
And this is actually the only entry on our list, on my list, that I've seen from beginning to end. I just realized that the other four I've never actually seen the end of. So
weird.
Yeah. So this movie, I watched the entire thing. It's an independent movie, and it feels like it. And it's art house and arty and stuff. And it's basically like a recreation of the Columbine shootings, and it was made in 2003, so it was still just a couple of years after Columbine. And the main point of the movie that I got was that if you're gay and you play video games, you're going to shoot up your school, because it's kind of supposed to be like this slice of a day in the life of this school that gets shot up. And all you see are just most of the kids sitting around, going to school, talking about nothing really. And then you see these guys that end up being the killers playing video games, playing a first-person shooter. And then you see them have sex in the shower together, and then they shoot up the school. Like, that is, it doesn't show any kind of real bullying that takes place beforehand, or it doesn't show any of the other things that might make a person snap, or, you know, it shows these two kids that are otherwise normal. They're otherwise perfectly healthy kids, but because they play video games and because they have gay sex, they end up going killing up the school.
So was there any, like, actual plot running through the movie, or was it just random activities and then it ends with a bloody shootout?
Pretty much just random activities ending with a shootout. And it's like, that's the thing. It's like, there's no buildup there. I'm not saying you want to be on the side of the killers, but it makes it seem like they're just, you know, they just decide to do this because they saw it in a video game. In the real Columbine shootings, one of the kids was just fucking crazy. And the other one was just kind of a kid that went along with it because he was getting bullied just as bad. And the other kids, you know, that they just snapped. But in this movie, it seems like they don't have that bad of a life. They just sit around and playing video games, and they're like, yeah, let's shoot up the school because we've been taught how to do this. And it definitely makes it clear that video games are the cause, because you see them playing a first-person shooter, and then later in the movie, you see a shot where you see the gun at the bottom of the screen, just like in the video game. Yep.
Oh, that's awful. Did you do any research on who made this movie?
It was actually made by Gus Van Sant, who was the director of Good Will Hunting. He's also the guy that made the shot-for-shot remake of Psycho.
Do you know if he ever came out against video games at all? Because it sounds like he's going straight at them.
No, I don't know if he ever did or not, but yeah. And I don't even know if that's what his intention was or if other people read it that way, but it just seemed really, I don't know. I don't feel like it did very much to create actual characters of anybody involved. And yeah.
You know, that's always, you know, talking about school shootings is always a touchy subject, and rightfully so. But, you know, you can't help but feel a little attacked as people who do play video games and kind of are passionate about them, as I know I am, and I'm assuming you are. You can't help but feel a little on the defensive when these terrible things happen, and now that just, as somebody who plays video games, I hope to people who don't play video games, that just seems ridiculous. I'm just a little fed up with it, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just disappointing because Gus Van Sant has made movies that I've really liked. He made Milk. He does a lot of music videos that are really good. But yeah, that movie set such a bad taste in my mouth because it seems so anti-video game, and it's just, ugh.
Well, if it came off as anti-gay, that would be weird that he then did Milk many years later, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody else read it the same way that I did, because,
yeah.
I mean,
because I haven't seen it, so I can't really speak to it, but I know you've been telling me about it for years.
Yeah, and it got such really good attention. The critics generally liked it a lot, which surprised the hell out of me. But yeah, it's just one of those things that it set me at the time, and I'm still upset about it because I don't let things go.
And why would you? Why would you need to?
Exactly.
Just hold on to that hate.
Don't let that anger go. Let it burn inside of you. Let it flow through you. Wait a minute. All right, so yeah, that was our list for a total of 10. If you want to let us know how wrong we were to not like these movies, or if you want to say, yeah, I hated those movies too, we should be friends because we hate all the same things.
Or if you want to set Eric straight on what Elephant was really about, I bet he would really appreciate that.
Or if you want to just say how awesome Superbad was and how stupid anybody who doesn't like it is, there are a few different ways you can get a hold of us. You can send us an email. Our email is hi_fives @outlook.com. All the words are spelled out. HIGH_FIVES@outlook.com. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at High Five
Podcast.
Via Twitter at High Five Podcast. There's no S in that one. High Five Podcast. Again, spell it all out. And then you can also get a hold of us on Facebook. You can like the High Five Podcast at facebook.com/highfives. There is an S in that one.
Or a little confusing, man.
You'll find us and subscribe to us on iTunes. You got to make sure to leave us a 5-star review. You've got to, because it's the High Five. We need 5 stars. Seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. And just let everybody know, we are very community-driven. If you write to us on Twitter, we will write back.
Not only will we write back, but really, if you send us any kind of communication at all, you've probably got a pretty good high chance of being mentioned on the show. So that's good for you, right?
So I don't know how much you want to be internet famous, but it couldn't hurt. Couldn't hurt.
But yeah, so until next week, I'm Eric.
And I'm Blake.
And you've just been high-fived. See you next week. High-fives for the guys. High-fives.
That's our theme song. Blake and Eric have a high five.
I love it. I want you to record that. Wait, it's been recorded.
It is recorded.
All right. There it is.
All right. If I don't start this, nobody ever will. So
it's true.